In the name of the Father and Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. At first, I want to thank you that you chose this topic, the servant according to the first and second epistles of St. Paul to Timothy. I tried yesterday and this morning to read the two epistles, and in fact, while I was reading these two epistles, I felt that not only we speak about Saint Timothy, but also about Saint Paul. The two epistles reveal, in fact, the personality and the concepts of Saint Paul and Saint Timothy concerning service and the servant of God. I can say the two epistles are very important, not only for the servant or the minister or the clergyman or the teachers of Sunday schools or the counselors of the youth meetings. The two epistles are very important for every Christian, the young and also the old believers. These epistles discover what is in the heart of St. Paul and what also in the heart and the mind of Timothy. St. Paul started the first epistle, or before speaking about what he started, I can say that two epistles has two aims or two purposes different than each other, but each one complete the other. There is integrality between the two epistles. The first one was sent to St. Timothy to reveal to him how to work in the field of God and how to encourage every person to serve the Lord and how to see or what about our concepts concerning service. The second epistle, in fact, we call it the farewell or farewell of St. Paul before he was martyred. He sent this last letter in which he reveals what was in his heart to his disciple or whom he called his beloved son. At first, for St. Paul, what is the meaning of service? In chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. We expect that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the call, God called him to be an apostle. But why he said here, the commandments of God? And when you ask St. Paul, why you became an apostle, truly in Galatians he said it is a call, and he received this call when? Do you know? When he went on his way to Damascus. He received this call while he was in the womb of his mother. He said, God separated me or devoted me while I was in the womb of my mother. But he didn't hear the voice except after many years. But he was called an apostle even he was not formed as a child. Before he entered this world, he was called, but the voice couldn't hear except after a long time. St. Paul was called to be an apostle. At the same time, he said not only it is a call, it is a commandment. When I hear the word commandment, what is the commandments or the divine commandments? We expect when we hear there is a divine commandment means you have to love, you have to work, you have not to sin, and like the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament or the divine commandments which was revealed by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But we do not expect that our call to service is a divine commandment. What does it mean? It means there is no separation between our life and our ministry, our service and our spiritual life. I can't say, oh, I have a special characteristic or special personality when I am with the kids or the young people, or when I witness to Jesus Christ wherever I am, and I have another personality or another face at my home or within my family or in my business and so on. And this is sometimes the problem of the church, that we sometimes become obstacles and we do not witness to Jesus Christ because we have two faces. Face in the church and face at home. Or face when we are reading the Bible, another face when we are dealing in money or business or something like that. As if the person has two personalities. Saint Paul, in fact, has one life wherever he was. He was at home, he was in the jail, he was in the synagogue of the Jews, he was among the Gentiles. He is Saint Paul who lived in the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when we heard that he became an apostle through the command or the commandment of God, it means when he received the divine commandment, he wanted to be a Christian. At the same time, he wanted to be a witness to Jesus Christ. In verse 5, the purpose of the commandment is love. From a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Which love? Love towards God, love towards all mankind. God wants me to be a holy one, he's saying. God wants me to be a sincere person. God wants me to be a faithful and have a pure heart. At the same time, he wants me to be a witness to this new life. Saint Paul's purpose in his ministry is not to convert people from paganism or from the literal life of the Jewish tradition to Christianity. I believe what was in the mind of Saint Paul, as God changed me and accepted me as an apostle, he wants every Christian or every person in the world to be a witness to Jesus Christ. And when we work among the children, it is not my business just to attract this person to enjoy the new life to Christ, but also to witness to Jesus Christ. The successful leader is the leader who created leaders from those whom he served. And I can't say, oh, I am very successful because the church is crowded. I am very successful because there is a growth in the numbering of the kids whom I serve. But my success, in fact, how to create leaders and witnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ or to the gospel. We have to put in our mind, when I have a confession from a person, when I give a sermon, when I read the Bible with any person, how to create the spirit. And when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke with the Samaritan woman, he didn't ask her to preach, but we can't find any of the apostles or the disciples attracted complete city in just some minutes. He left her jar and she went to the city and she called all the city. And when they came, they said, oh, we believed in Jesus not because of your words, but we spoke with him. We loved him. She was the link between all the city and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then our ministry, in fact, or our service among children, among young people, among our family, among our colleagues, we are the link between them and to the Lord, so that they may truly become witnesses and to complete the work to attract others to Jesus Christ. When Saint Paul looked to Timothy on the first of the missionary trip, the first trip, he attracted Timothy to Christianity. On the second missionary, he looked to Timothy, who was a very serious and zealous person. He witnessed to Jesus Christ. He said, oh, Timothy, he, at that time he was very young, he said, can you accompany me in my trips, in my ministry, and so on? And he called him many titles, sincere son, beloved one, true son in the faith. And he accompanied him almost in many ministries or his trips. And he truly was very faithful, Timothy, until St. Paul was martyred. We can say truly St. Paul was successful because he brought to the church the young person who truly became, we can say, little Paul in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he met Onesimus, a slave, and he escaped from his master, and he was a thief, and he attracted him through divine love to Christ. What happened? He said, he became very useful to me. When he served with me, I see Philemon, the master of Onesimus, working with me. He created, through the work of the Holy Spirit, from this slave, the thief one, who escaped and who was not brave, he created a great leader, and he became a bishop, and a very successful bishop. When he, St. Paul, many families, like Aquila and his wife, he also created the same spirit, and he called their house the church, and they preached it. Only preached it among people. They have their effect on the some leaders, like Apollos, who didn't hear about the baptism of Christian baptism, and he at that time just heard about John the Baptist, who educated this great leader Apollos, who came from Alexandria and has his influence on Corinth, the couple Aquila and his wife, and who served this couple St. Paul. Then we can say St. Paul, wherever he was not only attracted people to Christianity, he was attracting everyone to be a leader in the church. Unfortunately, sometimes we want to, I can say, to have dominion and authority over those who we serve. No. When I enter my class, in fact, it is a class to be leaders in the church. I remember many times Father Bishop Kamel, when we were speaking about some classes for to prepare teachers of Sunday school, he used to say, our class, in fact, is not to have some lessons or curriculum concerning preparation for service. We believe that the youth meeting is this class. The vesper is this class. He believed in every visit to any family with any young person, with a child, it is a good chance to prepare him as a leader. And he always was speaking how we have to create leaders in the church. I hope truly, if we can make in the next years special conferences or seminaries, how to create the spirit of leadership and among the children, among the youth, among the old men, among ladies, and so on. so that all the members of the church have their roles in the church. So the first point in service, according to St. Paul, that service is to attract everyone to be a leader in the church. Second thing, in verse 2, he said, to Timothy, a true son in the faith. A true son in the faith. When you read Romans 16, you can see how St. Paul was very, very emotional person. I don't like the pictures of St. Paul in which he is very serious and sometimes is not smiling. When you read chapter 16 from the Romans, the epistle to the Romans, you will see how he was very cheerful person, how he was very emotional, how he has personal contacts with many, many persons in every country in which he preached. Therefore, we do not astonish when we say about his son Timothy, a true son in the faith, and he called him sincere son. Sometimes he called him the beloved one. Sometimes we work in the church as policemen. Oh, this person does this wrong. This person comes with bad clothes. This person, when he receives that communion, she made makeup. You are not a policeman. Sometimes we look to the church as a court. No. The church is the community of love. The church is heaven. The church, in fact, is the open heart to all mankind, so that everyone can enjoy the divine love through us. Therefore, we hope that the teachers of Sunday school do not have the rank of policemen for their kids. Be cheerful. Be cheerful and love everyone, especially the sinner. We have many, many stories in the history how the great leaders of the church revealed their love to the sinners more than the righteous men to attract them to their divine love. You know, the first point we said that the ministry, in fact, is to create leadership in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing, the teacher or the servant must be very cheerful, and he or she reveals the divine love practically among not only whom he serves, but among all who surround him or her. In verse 13, chapter 1, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. St. Paul always remembered himself in his weakness. I was against God, blasphemy, against the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to abolish his name. I was against the church. I persecuted the church of God. I was insolent against every human being. I attacked every Christian person. I put them in the jails, and so on. He put before his eyes his weakness, but he was not absorbed in his weakness. When you read the two epistles, how he was focusing his eyes and asked Saint Timothy to focus his eyes on the strength which he had or they received through the work of the grace of God, and also the strength in the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit within them. Therefore, although he didn't ignore his weakness, he was supported by the work of the divine grace, the work of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he hoped all his disciples have the same spirit. I am very weak, I am very strong. By myself, I can't do anything. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I am victorious. By myself, I am a human being. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I am an impossible. The Lord Jesus Christ, I participate or share in the divine nature. I have authority through the work of the Holy Trinity in my life. Therefore, we have the two without contradiction. Don't concentrate on your weakness. Don't say, oh, I am a sinner. I am in failure. I can't work among them people. It is too hard to preach or to teach among the new generation. It is wrong. You are supported by the grace of God. You have authority from heaven. You have the Holy Trinity dwelling in you. I abide in Him. He abides in me. Therefore, it is not my work. It is the work of God who is dwelling in my heart. Also, if we look to chapter 2, at first I spoke about the meaning of the concept of serving or ministering the Lord Jesus Christ and how we serve the Lord Jesus Christ to create witnesses to the gospel. Now, he spoke in chapter 2 about the worship. Worship in the church. There is no separation between worshiping and preaching or worshiping and witnessing to the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, we heard about the purpose of the commandments is love from a pure heart. He wants everyone to be pure in his heart. He wants also the church to be pure. Not only the purity of my heart, it is the purity of the whole church. There is no separation between my personal worship, I don't like the word individual, personal worship, even at my private room, and between also the communal worship or the church worship. The two are together integral without separation. Therefore, I exhort first of all, chapter 2, verse 1, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. I don't know he's speaking concerning worship, or he speaking concerning serving. He asked us to worship, to have supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, but at the same time he said, what? To be made for all men. And while I thank my Lord Jesus Christ, even at my private room, I thank him, and at the same time, I feel I carry all the world on my hands, in my heart. When I am in the church and participate in the liturgies, in fact, I practice a personal contact with God. At the same time, I pray on behalf of all men. Sometimes, or some men believe that it is the work of the priest to pray for all men. No. He said it is first of all, I exhort of all, first of all that so and so for all men. It is a commandment for every Christian, for all the church. The church, in fact, is the servant of the world, like her master. He came to serve, not to be served. Sometimes we imagine or we want to the church to have a dominion. We speak about the honor of the church, the dignity of the church. And sometimes we become very serious when the church is persecuted. The church is a copy of the Lord Jesus Christ, his icon. The Lord came here not to be a king. He came here to serve, not to be served. He came and in his mind to be crucified on behalf of those who persecuted him. His heart is open to all mankind, even the sinners and the wicked people. He is lover of all mankind without any exception. Therefore, while we are worshipping God in the church or in our home church, even while I am driving my car, in my college, in my business, wherever I am, in fact, I am praying on behalf of the whole world. When I say our Father, I can't say my Father, because if I say my Father who art in heaven, it means I am selfish. I want to be like my Lord, lover of all mankind, and pray even of the persecutors of the church. He asked us to start by supplications, then prayers, afterwards intercessions, and at last giving thanks. What does it mean? In brief, we can say supplications, we have many things, many demands. I pray for many things in my life or in the life of others. Those who are sick, those who are in the prisons, those who are in troubles, those who are persecuted, those who are in need of work, and those who are in need of money, those who are in need of love, I pray for, I supplicate, or I demand on behalf of all mankind, because I feel that we are in need of the Heavenly Father to take care of all our needs. This is the work of every Christian, to pray and to demand on behalf of all mankind. The second step, prayers, means close contact, to speak with Him, to enter in dialogue. When I enjoy the dialogue with God, I, in fact, within myself, I hope all mankind to have the adoption to the Father and have the chance to speak with Him as a Father, not as the judge. And we hope that the gates of heaven are open and everyone opens his heart so that there is a connection between God as a Father and the believer and the man as his son. This is the second thing, prayers, the link between God and me and between God and every man. The intercessions, in fact, we ask sometimes Saint Mary to intercede on our behalf or on behalf of all mankind. It is not the work of Saint Mary alone, or the heavenly hosts, or the prophets, or the apostles. It is the work of every child in the church to intercede for the salvation of mankind. And we hope truly every person, every child, we have to teach every child to be, to be an icon of Christ. I remember once a person, he was about 11, 12 years old, came and said, Abuna, can I confess? I said, yes. He started to say, oh, my father is always nervous, he always upset, he insulted me, insulted my sister, my mother, our neighbors, even in his work. And he started to speak about his father. And he said, what I will do? I want to take communion. I hate my father. I asked him, do you think it is his fault or your fault? He said, do you imagine I am in the wrong way? My mother, my sister, our neighbors, all our relatives, those who work, and he alone is on the right track. Then I said, do you want to see him with you on the last day on the cloud with the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, surely. I said, what you did for him? Do you fast on Wednesday and Friday on behalf of your father? He said, no. Do you make Mataniyat every day, kneeling on behalf of his salvation? He said, no. Do you pray every time and ask God to work in his heart? He said, no. Then I said, do you think it is your fault or not? He started to smile and said, yes, it is my fault. I said to him, oh, you have to make your mind very broad, more than your father, and your heart to be open to your father, and be very large. He started to feel, oh, I can be a leader. It is not the responsibility of the father only to guide the family. We can see some children can guide the whole family. And he started to serve him. In brief, he returned home, he started to bring a cup of tea to him. His father asked him, what do you want? He said, nothing that. I love you. He said, no, no, tell me what you want. And the next day, the third day, after a week, he called him and said, what are you doing all this week? What do you want? He said, Dad, surely I tell you, I love you from all my heart. All the life of the father totally changed. He became very cheerful with him and also with the family. And he said to me, he used to call him and to speak with him as a friend. And the life of the father, but also the peace of the family, was created through the work of the child. It is our responsibility as leaders in the church to create this spirit among our children, among our brothers, among the old men. Everyone had his responsibility to intercede on behalf of all mankind. I remember once I visited a person in Los Angeles. I knew him from 1970. He became very, very old. And his wife has been died. And his kids were married and became far away from him. Then when I visited him, I asked him, do you go to the church? He said, yes, every Sunday somebody comes and take me to the church because he can't drive. I said, do you serve in the church? He looked to me, and I, at the time, there was the priest of the church was with me, and said, why you ask about serving? I can't go to the church. Sometimes some people come on Saturday for the to participate in the Vesper, but it is too rarely, but almost every Sunday. But what can I do in the church? I said to him, you can do more than me and the priest. He said, what? I said, we will change, we will take write the title outside the flat. It is the monastery of so and so. He said, oh. I said, you are alone and this is a monastery. You can pray for the whole church every morning. You can pray the morning prayer and pray for the priests, for the Sunday school teachers, for the deacons, for the Pope, for the Bishop of Los Angeles, and so on. And pray for the Muslims, all the non-Christians, and so on. He started to smile and said, oh. I said, when you do that, God will help the priest and help me. He also will help the Pope by your prayer. You have, in fact, a good chance to intercede on behalf of mankind. We have to create this atmosphere. Nobody, even the sick people, those who are on the last, in the last moments of their life, we can ask them to pray for the whole world. When we hear from Paul, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks to be made for all men, it is the work not of Timothy alone, it is the work of all believers. At last, giving thanks. We start by supplications, we are in need. With prayers, we want to have link. Supplication, we open our hearts to all mankind, pray for them. At last, we become angels of God. We have nothing to do except to thank God for everything. When God looks to the people, they are like angels of God. Surely the church totally will be changed, but also the world will be changed because of this group who are truly, I can say, who pleased God because they are thanksgivers. At the same time, in verse 3, chapter 2, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." And while he asks him to worship, he said, "Don't ignore your role, that even in your worship, you worship on behalf of all men." What about all men? Not only to be in safety or to have all their needs, but also to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then we hope truly that all mankind enjoy the truth and enjoy faith. In verse 8, until the end of the chapter 2, he spoke about the role of men, the role of ladies, women. Everyone has his own role. He asked the men to be very pure, not to be angry, because we know, especially in the first century, they used the men to be very nervous, or they looked to themselves as leaders of the families. He said, you have to be modest. You have to be very lovely and cheerful. He asked women also to take care of their children, because through their children, they can save and they can work on behalf of the church. In verse 15, "Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control."
Looks like you passed verse 12.
I passed verse 12. Okay. verse 12.
We're 11.
I'm not even proceeding. And verses 11 and 12. "Let a woman hear in silence with all submission, and I don't permit a woman to cheat, teach, or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was, first, then Eve. Woman being deceived fell, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression." Concerning women, I know now it makes problems all over. If we look to these verses and some words I know of St. Paul concerning the role of women, and he asked them not to have the role in the church as leaders at that time. The problem at that time, we know St. Timothy was sent to Corinth, and Corinth was well known, it was a very corruptible city. And in history, when it is said this girl is a Corinthian girl, although she was not from Corinth, it means very corruptible girl, because all Corinth at that time was very corruptible. And adultery was spread all over the city. At that time in Corinth, the many leaders were women, and they were, made many troubles. And they used their authority as what we call Lomal Asher, noble ladies, even in the church. They want to lead the church according to their mentality. Therefore, St. Paul in Corinth and with Timothy, as he at that time he worked in Corinth, he wanted to stop this attitude in Corinth so that they may not continue. When you read also in Corinth, 1 Corinth chapter 14, you hear about the tongues and how many ladies use tongues and make confusion. And he said about God is God of peace and not God of confusion. So it is a special situation for Corinth at that time. At the same time, when we read Romans 16, we find St. Paul, when he wrote to Rome, which is different than Corinth, he spoke of many leaders from the ladies or from deaconesses or widows. And he spoke about also the leaders among the widows. And he, for example, he started by laymen, then bishops, then deacons. And after the deacons, he spoke about the widows and the elders. And the widows, in fact, not only the lady whose husband departed from this world, the widows had special work in the church as leaders at that time, because they were leaders among the girls and little ladies and so on. Therefore, when we speak about the role of the women in the church, we cannot quote just some verses and some epistles of St. Paul and say this was the attitude of St. Paul. But we have to study all the epistles of St. Paul together, then we can distinguish between special case and the case as a whole. Yani if there is a group of ladies and one of the ladies started to teach them, what we will say? It is not permitted for her to speak, to teach? No. If like a person, she has scholarship and she wants to give a lecture in some history of the church, even in the church, we can say she haven't to teach men. But he spoke about special case. I hope somebody can make can it be? Can it be? You can it be, sir. I said that. Listen. But we want to hear some.
I just
want to
know, like, where exactly. How do you know exactly that it's regarding, this was said specifically for this Church of Corinth? Because, like, I know so many, you know, I mean, a lot of people take this out of context, and there's a lot of people against St. Paul because of his attitude here towards women. So how can we say that?
Because you can read the book of Corinth, the epistles of Corinth, and you see, and he spoke about this matter, especially in Corinth. In the book of Acts, we hear that he left him in Corinth and he worked in Corinth. Truly, he was a bishop of Ephesus, but he worked in Corinth. It was the attitude for the special case. I'll try to make a pamphlet and give
answers. Negative attitudes towards St. Paul because of it.
I know. But at the same time, he asked them to take care of Phoebe, the deaconess of Caesarea, and in many cases he spoke about ladies. When he spoke about Aquila and Priscilla in Arabic, sometimes he put the lady before his wife, before the husband, because she was more zealous than him. And even the fathers of the church said that St. Paul was concerned of this wife because she was more zealous than her husband. There, we do not just separate a part and said, oh, St. Paul is anti-women or something like that. No, it is for special case. I'll try to make a benefit of it. Afterwards, he spoke about the qualifications of the bishops. This is a faithful chapter 3. And in chapter 1, the commandment, there is no separation between the divine commandment and service, but the aim or the purpose of commandments, not only that we, everyone, become holy, but he wants all mankind to be one church and holy church. Chapter 2 is concerned in worship, and we see how even in our worship, we do not separate our worship from serving or witnessing to the gospel or to the Lord Jesus Christ among all men. In chapter 3, he spoke about qualifications of bishops and the qualifications of deacons. In fact, as Saint John Chrysostom used to say, the two groups, although he took the top, the bishops, and the last among the clergymen, the deacons, but you find the qualification almost the same. Why he put the two? Why he didn't say the qualifications of all clergymen? He wants to tell them, although there is an order in the church, and we have to obey and to respect this order, but we have to know that this order is just for administration and just for the edification of the kingdom of God, but every one of them, regardless his rank, is in fact will be rewarded according to his faith, not according to his rank. And we will find on the last days many of the bishops less than many of laymen. I remember His Holiness Pope Shenouda once spoke about Amber Weiss, and he said he was not pope, he was not a bishop, he was not a priest, he was not a deacon, but many patriarchs or popes asked his intercession on their behalf. Amber Weiss, although he was one of the laymen, but in the eye, in the view of God, in the eyes of God, he is greater than many of clergymen. Therefore, we have to obey and to accept the church order. Sometimes when we speak about spirituality, about the gifts of God, the grace of God, all of us became children of God, all of us have the power of the Holy Spirit, sometimes we ignore the church order. Saint Paul, in fact, although he concentrated on all these benefits or the work of the Holy Trinity in the lives of all mankind, at the same time he wants to ask, or he asks us, to obey the church order and also to take care of choosing the bishops, the priests, and the deacons. I will leave chapter 3 to read it and to discover how it is very serious and it is the responsibility of the congregation to choose the bishop or the deacon and what about their qualification. Saint John Chrysostom used to say to his priests, he used to say that the priest is the father of the whole world. And his fatherhood is not concerning special place or special congregation or even concerning Christians. He has to know God wanted him to be a father of all mankind. And when I speak about Father, it doesn't mean has dominion or authority. It means he has love to open his heart to all men. I hope all of us truly have the same spirit of St. Paul. And the next topic I will continue in the first epistle of St. Timothy and the second to see how St. Paul was looking concerning the service. Glory be to God. Amen.
You said that we're not policemen inside the church, right?
We are not
policemen. Yani if a servant is to see something wrong is happening inside the church, does not listen to that, give him the right to say, yani, you're in the court of God, but you have to have some respect out of it.
Sure. If something wrong happens, at first we have to reveal love and to be long-suffering with them. And we try to deal with them as brothers, sisters, and as one family. But not to be as you are in a court and we have the decision and we say, this is a decision because you did so and so, and this is a punishment. We are not in a court. But at the same time, we have concerned the church to be holy and to have its order and to live as an icon of it. Any other ayah,
Consider the content of the special we apply in our life as a servant, because when he was, as he said, the qualification that he mentioned for the bishop is the same for the deacon. We can consider this
as
the same for us as a servant.
We concern the qualifications of the bishops and deacons for every Christian person, because everyone is a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But when he spoke about bishops and deacons, he wants to tell us, although all of us are working on behalf of the kingdom of God, but we have to respect the role of the bishop and the role of the deacon. Any questions?
Isn't there, about concerning the role of women, isn't there also a part of St. Paul's teaching that does say that women are not for the priesthood and women are not? Isn't there also this aspect of this, that sentence?
Concerning priesthood and ladies and women, in fact, it is from the Old Testament and also in the New Testament, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he didn't choose his mother, although we call her the second heaven, and she is more brighter than the seraphim and cherubim. But at the same time, she supported the apostles, but she was not one of the disciples and apostles, for many reasons. The first reason, in fact, we look to the women to have their role and their in family. And when we say their role in family, sometimes we look as if it is less than the work of men. Who created the leaders of the church? In fact, many mothers who created the work or the personality of Saint Augustine. His mother, Monica. What Augustine did, in fact, all his works can be attributed to his mother, because she worked many, many years so that her son be converted and to accept faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many books now, I think, in the Orthodox Church concerning women and priesthood. So it is, yani, we don't see in all the early church any, and even among the heretics, there was no women became priests or bishops in clergymen.
What's the relationship between child rearing and salvation?
Between what?
Child rearing and salvation. I said verse 15.
15?
Chapter 2. First Timothy chapter 2.
Okay, one moment. Chapter 2, verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. Okay. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Chapter 2. Come in about 15, chapter 2.
Verse 15.
And chapter 2 and 1.
You said it chapter 2?
Chapter 2,
sorry. I'm reading the second thing. Sorry. Okay. Chapter 2, verse 15. Nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. When we look to Saint Monica, and she was struggled too much for the conversion of her son. And her son, Augustine, has been or became very faithful person, and he became serious, a bishop and a hero in the church. It is through the work of his mother. Then through her children, she became very great. She saved all what her children has to work. It is for her account or on her behalf, because it is the fruit of her work. This means how the mothers have to take care of their children, because they will be leaders in the church.
Abuna, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14 says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband." Is this another example of a verse for Corinthians because of
no.
what was going on in that time?
This, until now we use it. If two non-Christians are married, a couple, and they are married already, one of them accepted to the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he or she was baptized. The person who was baptized cannot ask for divorce, although the other is non-Christian, because the other is sanctified in him, and he can take or she can take care of the children to live in faith. But if they, the two are Christians, one is Christian, and want to marry non-Christian, we say no. But if the two are not, because at that time, by her or his, all well accepted to share another and who is not faithful to God. But when they were married, they were not Christians, and they haven't the idea, they couldn't have the decision to live in the Lord Jesus Christ. As they accepted to be married, and after marriage, one of them was converted, then the other can live with him. If he wants to separate, it is his own way. At that time, we use it for concerning, especially in Egypt, when a person wants to marry a Muslim, a Muslim person wants to marry a Christian girl. We refuse at all.
And at the time, like in Corinthians at that time, Christians were also not able to marry?
No. If those who are only the non-Christians. Until now, if a Muslim person, one of them, the couple has been converted to Christianity, the other want to live with him, okay. If they want to depart, any question?